Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we truly humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this your holy Sabbath day. We give all honor, glory, and praise to your great name, Father. And we know and thank you, Father, for the blessings that you've bestowed upon your people. We ask, Father, that you would hear and answer prayer today for all those that have a petition before you, those that have been spoken and even unspoken requests. You know what our needs are, Father, even before we ask. But we have some that are on this prayer list who are in dire need of a healing, Father. Be Yahweh Rapha and touch the bodies of Julie. Touch the bodies of Terry. Touch the bodies of all those that need a touch from the Master's hand today. Father, you know what each and every one of our needs are. And we thank you for each and every blessing. Be our comforter, Father, through your Holy Spirit, and comfort all those who have lost loved ones, who are mourning at this time. We ask that you would restore them and cause them to rejoice before you, Father. We know that our loved ones will die, even some of our members. But we ask, Father, that your Spirit would be mighty upon your people, and that you would truly lift us up and restore us the way we were before. Be Yahweh Yireh, our provider, giving us everything we have need of, even before we ask, because we know, Father, you are a provider, a great provider, and we don't have to worry about where we're going to sleep or what we're going to eat. We don't have to worry, as you've shown us in Matthew 6, about the sparrows that work not yet, they receive their daily bread. Father, we love you, and we thank you for every blessing that you've bestowed upon your people. And we ask that your Spirit would be mightily upon us today as we open your word, and we ask, Father, that we would gain the understanding that you've prepared for us and that you would move us, that we would draw ourselves closer to you, seeking to be a part of your soon coming kingdom. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated at this time. We forgot the head covering bag, you know, because I normally travel with my music and all of that, but I didn't bring it, so we have to wing it for those. Some said their head is already covered, whether it was with a wig or whatever, but still, we want to give Yahweh the honor. No, it's about giving Yahweh the honor. Now, today's message is entitled, The Heart of Obadiah. There you go. See? The Heart of Obadiah. Obadiah was a true servant of Yahweh. In handling Yahweh's business during the days of Ahab, a time of true apostasy. We're living in a time like that today, brethren, where the majority of the world is gone in a very negative direction. They don't have a love for Almighty Yahweh. They don't know Almighty Yahweh. And this is why we're here today. We want to share with the world what Almighty Yahweh is about and who he is. Now, the name Obadiah means a servant of Yahweh. Interesting, right? A servant of Yahweh. In 1 Kings chapter 18 is going to be our We'll start in verse 1. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of Yahweh came to Eliah in the third year, saying, Go show yourselves to Ahab. Now, Ahab was the king of Israel at the time. Israel was in a state of apostasy because Ahab had married the daughter of Ethbaal. These were Phoenicians. Ethbaal was a priest king. And, you know, Phoenicia was a nation that was a seafaring nation. So they had riches there. As a matter of fact, David had made a pact with the king of Phoenicia to have lumber and things like that brought down to, and they traded with them. So they received quite a bit of the things that were necessary from that country. Just like we trade with a lot of countries here in the U.S., we trade with, remember NAFTA, Mexico, and Canada, yet it's always a problem when you look at the other country. It's always the problem. It's not us. It's always the other country. See, in Israel's case, it was the other country. But what happened is that they made a political marriage, and the daughter of Ethbaal was married to the son of Omri, who was king of Israel, and his name was Ahab. So Ahab married Jezebel. Everybody knows about Jezebel and what Jezebel stands for, what she was about. But Jezebel was very faithful to her religion. You understand? And it wasn't the religion of Israel. Her religion was a Baal worship. They worshiped the pagan mighty one, where they sacrificed children and other things. So that apostasy was interjected into Israel through this political marriage. And Ahab, you know how men are. They get a wife and they do what the wife tells them to do. Right? Didn't Adam do what Eve told him to do? Yes. See, so Jezebel kind of was ruling Israel. He was still a king, but if you read the story and follow 1 Kings, you see, especially when he wanted Naboth's vineyard. The man said, no, Ahab's the king. What did he do? He went home crying to his wife. And what did his wife do? She had some false witnesses come up against the man and put him to death. She got rid of the problem. It wasn't the right way, but she took care of it. Now, all women aren't like that, okay? And I want you to think that I'm implying that, because I'm not. You're wonderful people. But here, Jezebel was the power behind the throne. And here, Yahweh's telling Eliah. Eliah is, and his name means my, El is Eliah, and my mighty one is Yahweh. That's what Eliah means. And see, we, in the last days, are taking this Eliah message to the world. We're teaching the world that, hey, Yahshua is returning. Eliah must come before the Messiah. Now, John the Baptist was a type of Eliah. He was a forerunner of his cousin, Yahshua, the Messiah. Now, we have to be the forerunner, because Yahshua's coming once we finish our mission, once we, the servants of Yahweh, Obadiah, finish our work. Yahshua's coming. But we have to do the work. So, before verse 2, he says, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Eliah went to show himself to Ahab. And the famine was severe in Samaria. Samaria was the capital of Israel, just like Washington is the capital of the United States. Now, when there's a famine, because there was a drought, Eliah had prayed to Yahweh that it rain not for 3.5 years, and it didn't. And that created a ripple effect. When you have no rain or drought, you're going to have famine and all kinds of pestilence and other things that go along with it. Now, we know in the last days there's going to be a famine of hearing the word of Yahweh. And what we're trying to do is make sure that all the people, once that last person is baptized, of the 144,000. Once that last person is immersed and receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, tribulation is going to start. That last person being sealed, you're going to have 3.5 years of tribulation upon this world that no one has ever seen, because that's what it talks about, the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, here, this famine was so severe. And then in verse 3, it says, Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now, he was a steward for the king, right? That means he had a high position in Ahab's administration. And it says here, now Obadiah feared Yahweh greatly. He feared Yahweh. And what that means is he was a true worshiper. He was subject to the law of Yahweh. He didn't make excuses, even though his boss was doing things. They were in apostasy at that time because of his wife. They were seeking other mighty ones other than Yahweh, who was the mighty one of Israel, yet they weren't doing what they needed to do in keeping the commandments of Yahweh. And we're in a situation like that today, I'm telling you. How many people are keeping the commandments out here in the world? Very few. Very few keep the Sabbath. Very few keep the feast days. I mean, you heard of the Seventh-day Adventists. Yes, they keep Sabbath, but they're Christian. They don't keep the feast days. They don't use Yahweh's name. There are many commandments that we have to keep. Actually, all of them. You understand? We can't pick and choose what we believe. We have to believe, and this is what Obadiah did, the servant of Yahweh. He kept the commandments of Yahweh. Now, I'm going to show you a few other things he did that we have to do as well. Verse 4, it says, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of Yahweh that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them 50 in a cave." So he had 50 in this cave, 50 in another cave. Because he didn't want them to be killed and the worship of Yahweh extinguished. Now, he fed them in a cave and fed them with bread and water. He made sure they had provision. He was a steward of the king, so he had access. And he used that access to keep the worship of Yahweh alive. You understand? He was doing a work. In verse 5, "And Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the fountains of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and the mules alive, that we do not lose all the beasts." So they divided the land between them to pass over into it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now, that shows you the position he was in. Ahab's the king, and he's going to check out this part of Israel, and Obadiah's checking out the other part. Verse 7, and as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Eliah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my superior, Eliah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your sovereign, your king, behold, Eliah is here." And he said, "In what have I sinned that you would deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? And as Yahweh, your Elohim, lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my sovereign has not sent to seek you." And when they said, "He is not here," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found you not. And now you say, "Go tell your sovereign, behold, Eliah is here." And it will come to pass as soon as I have gone from you that the spirit of Yahweh will carry you where I know not. He's going to just whisk you away. And so when I come and tell Ahab, he cannot find you and he will kill me. But I, your servant, fear Yahweh from my youth. I've been a worshiper of Yahweh since I was little. See, Obadiah was faithful. He was letting Eliah know. Was it not told to my superior what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of Yahweh, how I hid 100 men of Yahweh's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? You know, he's pleading his case to Eliah because he doesn't want to be exposed. He doesn't want to get killed by Ahab. And now you say, go tell your sovereign, behold, Eliah is here, and he will kill me. And Eliah said, as Yahweh of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So he gave him his word, I'm going to show myself. So you don't have to worry about being killed. In verse 16, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Eliah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Eliah that Ahab said to him, is it you, you troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, and that you have forsaken the commandments of Yahweh, and you have followed the Baalim. That term Baal or Baalim is Lord. That's what transfers and comes over from the Hebrew. Now, or the English is the Lord, but Baalim is the term that means it in the Hebrew. Now, it means master as well. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of Asherah 400, that eat at Jezebel's table. Now, Jezebel's table represents false religion. And we have to make a differentiation or a distinction between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean, false as well as true worship. And we try to do this each and every day. Like I said, when you go to the store to buy a product or you're out to eat, you have to ask questions. You have to make sure that what you're eating is not unclean. It's kosher. You understand? There's a reason. And the reason is not that it's going to kill you immediately if you eat some pork or something like that, but it does separate you from Yahweh spiritually. Now, during the Dark Ages, when the bubonic plague was prevalent, a lot of people died. As a matter of fact, the mortality rate was something like, I believe, I want to say 70-80%. I don't remember exactly, but it was a lot. And what happened is the people who survived it went after the Jews because they weren't dying. And they thought they were witches or magicians because they weren't dying like the rest of the people. The difference was because they lived a kosher life. They didn't eat what the other people were eating. And the bubonic plague was being carried by the fleas and the, you know, rats that were in Europe at that time. So it makes a difference when you separate by eating kosher. If you eat the right foods and you eat the proper foods, you're not going to have the problems the rest of the people have. There are a lot of people today having a lot of physical illnesses based on the processed food that they eat. So we try to eat not only kosher, but we try to eat wholesome food. Food is good for us. Right, Aaliyah? Now, what we need to understand, turn over to Psalm 113. There's a separation between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. The servant of Yahweh is seeking to do the things that are right in this life. in Psalm 113, and we'll read the whole psalm. It says, "Hallelujah." I was speaking with a sister this morning from the Mitchell family reunion. They have 5 family reunions going on in this hotel. And she's from South Florida. Went to South Florida University, and that's where she works. So she was doing some work there in the business center while I was making copies of the music. And, you know, we talked for a minute, and she was telling me about her worship and where she's from, and she's in charge of the dance praise for the ministry. And we got on the subject, hallelujah. And I asked her, what does it mean? And she said, it's the highest praise. I said, why? And then she gave me an answer, but it wasn't the correct answer. But I explained to her, I said, you see what's prevalent here? Yah. I had my hat on, too. I showed her that. Yahweh's truth. So, hallelujah. She knows it's the highest praise, and most Christians do, but they don't know why. And I said, because you're praising him by his name. That's the short form of Yahweh. Yah. You're praising him by his name. And the light went on. Immediately, she knew exactly what I was saying. See? And when we talk about the scriptures and what has to happen in these last days, it says, praise, O you servants, you Obadiahs, servants of Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. This is something that we have to do. This is something that we are commanded to do. If you don't use the name, how can you praise it? You can't. So this ministry is building up and drawing people to it to praise the name of Yahweh. Verse 2, blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Yahweh's name is to be praised. Yahweh is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. But how can we give him glory if we don't praise him? And this is something that I've been teaching and preaching as long as I've been doing it. I try to motivate people to praise Yahweh and to sing to his name, and to give glory to the mighty one of Israel. If you go on the internet and look up the mighty one of Israel, guess who you'll find? Yahweh. He's the mighty one of Israel. And when I was talking to the sister this morning, and we were talking about this message, Israel, she recognized Yahweh. She saw my hat. Yes, he's the mighty one of the Jew. No, he's the mighty one of Israel. Jews are a part of Israel. They're not all of Israel. They're one tribe of the 12 tribes. You understand? Israel is a corporate, it's like United States when it started. You had 13 colonies. Not one colony can say, we're America. You understand? It was all of them together. So, yes, what does the term Jew mean? And I bring this out often, I teach it. It's from Genesis 29:35, where Leah had the son and says, this time I will praise Yahweh. And she named him Yehuda or Judah. There are no J's in Hebrew, but it's Yehuda is the true name. Because she's praising Yahweh for this child. We praise Yahweh so we can call on his name. We can call ourselves Yehuda if we want. You understand? Because we're praising Yahweh's name. And the world's not doing that. The Jewish people don't do that. So this is what our purpose is in these last days, to bring people to this knowledge so that they can give him honor, glory, and praise in the name of Yahweh. Verse 5, who is like Yahweh, our Elohim, who has his seat on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the needy from the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people, who makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah. It starts with praise you, Yahweh. Hallelujah. And ends with the same thing. Hallelujah. Do we give Yahweh enough praise? Now, what I wanted to bring out with this message is the heart of Obadiah. Each one of us must have that same heart. We must have the same love that Obadiah had for Yahweh. He was willing to put his life on the line, hiding the prophets of Yahweh, when Jezebel, who was the authority, was killing him. You understand? It's like during the days of Hitler, when the Jews were being hidden by some of the Christians in Poland and some of the other people. They did it, putting their life on the line. How many of you saw Schindler's List, the movie? You know, he gave an impression to the Germans that he was anti-Jew, but he saved a lot of Jews. Was it because he was a lover of Jews or because he respected life? You know, he was a wealthy man, and he did something that was right. And this is what we have to be able to do. We have to do what's right as far as what Yahweh is asking us to do in our lives. You were all called for a purpose. And as a servant of Yahweh, as an Obadiah, each one of us has to live a life overcoming this world. Now, you're going to have challenges. Every day of your life, you'll have challenges. And you're going to have to make decisions. And those decisions are going to border on whether you're going to be for Yahweh or against Yahweh. And sometimes they're not as clear. But when you keep the commandments, you cannot go wrong. If you're keeping the commandments of Yahweh, you're going to be okay. If you keep the commandments, you will be okay. And that's the important part. Each one of us has to keep the commandments of Yahweh. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 39. Jeremiah 39, and we'll start in verse 15. Actually, this was our daily devotion on the website today. What we have here is the word of Yahweh to Ebed-Melech, whose name means servant of the king. Now, he was a eunuch that served in the king's palace. He was also the one who, when he learned that Jeremiah was in the miry dungeon, talked to the king to save Jeremiah. He had a soft heart for Jeremiah and trusted in Yahweh. This pronouncement brings judgment on the city, but notice that Ebed-Melech is spared due to his trust in Yahweh. Now the word of Yahweh in verse 15 came to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the guard, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian. He wasn't of Israel, but he was a worshiper of Yahweh. Ethiopians are considered Canaanites. Well, not Canaanites, I'm saying, I'll take that back. They are considered Gentiles, okay? Canaanites were in the northern part of Canaan. Now, he's an Ethiopian. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, the mighty one of Israel, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good. And they shall be accomplished before you in that day. But I will deliver you in that day, says Yahweh, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men whom you are afraid. For I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be for a prey to you because you have put your trust in me, says Yahweh. So even Ebed-Melech received salvation. He received the saving of his life because of the good he did for Jeremiah. And just like Obadiah, who was a servant of Yahweh, Ebed-Melech was a servant of Yahweh as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Remember, the message is entitled The Heart of Obadiah. And working together with him, we entreat also that you receive not the grace of Yahweh in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I will listen to you. And in the day of salvation, did I help you? Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We have to get this message to the world so that this can come about. Verse 3, giving no occasion of stumbling in anything, that our ministration be not blamed, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of Yahweh. Here in this translation, they have ministers. I don't know what it says in your Bible, Brenda. Ministers. What does it say in yours, Betsy? Ministers. Same over here, Maria? Servant. Because that's one of the translations. And actually, a minister is a servant of Yahweh. But the point is, it's talking about a servant, an Obadiah. Each one of us has to fit ourselves into Yahweh's plan as an Obadiah. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in strikes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting, in pureness, in knowledge, in long suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in love unfeigned, unpretended, in the word of truth, in the power of Yahweh, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. See, as servants of Yahweh, as Obadiahs, we're going to go through this life, we're going to go through our trials and our tribulation. But he's going to spare us from the great tribulation which is soon coming upon this earth. Verse 11. He says, our mouth is open to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is enlarged. Do we have the heart of Obadiah, brethren? Do we have an enlarged heart to keep the covenant, to walk in truth, and to be an example to all those that Yahweh sends our way? Now, you don't know when you might be entertaining angels unaware. This is why it's important that we conduct ourselves in a very spiritual manner at all times. I'm not saying you can't have fun or, you know, do things that most people say, well, what's sin? Oh, dancing, playing cards, and drinking. The Bible doesn't say you can't play cards, doesn't say you can't drink, and doesn't say you can't dance. As a matter of fact, David danced before Yahweh, and there's nothing wrong with it. Now, a lot of people want to say, well, you're dancing for yourself in the club. or whatever, okay? I'm not saying you can't have fun. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you're going to be compromised, but guess what? It's your life. You can enjoy yourself. And the Bible tells you, Solomon says it many times, about enjoy the good of your labor. You work hard, that's fine. You can go out and have a good time. But you always have to have a presence of mind and know that you represent him, okay, as a servant of Yahweh. Now, a lot of people will judge you because, oh, they don't think a servant of Yahweh should be such and such a place or doing such and such a thing. But if it's not a violation of the commandments, there's nothing wrong with it. People try to put their interpretation of what they think the Bible says on you. And we don't accept that. I used to live across the street from some Seventh-day Adventists in Baltimore, and the man saw me drinking a beer on my porch and said I was a sinner. I'm a sinner because I'm drinking a beer, you know. And I had to talk with the man later. We broke it down, and I explained to him and even showed him the scriptures where it's okay to drink. But see, he was taught, and they were strict. Ellen G. White, you can't drink any alcohol, no caffeine. You know, most of what people put in their body, you know. And I'm not saying you shouldn't live a healthy life. I want you to live a healthy life. And you shouldn't compromise your health by putting things in it like the poisons that's in a lot of these foods today. And that's why you have to read labels, okay? Because some of the stuff we had, oh, man, it was something that I used to eat and I loved. I think it was some of my Pepperidge Farm cookies or one of it. And they had, it said it had genetically modified material in it. I said, oh, no, I can't eat my cookies anymore. I had to stop. But, you know, that's crazy. Why they have to do that? But you got to watch what you eat because, you know, oh, man, it's crazy. A lot of what's going on in the world today is not good for us. It's important that we, as servants of Yahweh, walk an upright life. We walk the right way. You missed the part I just said. It's nothing wrong with having a good time as long as you're not violating the covenant. Because a lot of people tell you, you know, they think they know what's in here, but they don't know what's in here, you know, because they heard it from somewhere else. If you ask them where is it in the Bible, they can't tell you, you know, because they say, oh, you can't drink. But the Bible says you can. See? So you have to know it for yourself. And this is one of the things we teach here, YPTC. You need to know this because the 144,000 are going to be kings and priests during the millennium. They're going to be teaching the young people who are under the age of accountability who don't know Yahweh, and they're going to be able to teach them how to get to know Yahweh. I have a quick question, and I'll leave this. I know most of you know the answer, and I'm not going to pick on you because this is what I use to get. It's an opener for me when I'm witnessing the people. And I asked them, how many animals did Noah take on the ark of each? And everybody quickly raised their hand. And what's the answer? Two. Two of each. Turn over to Genesis. It is two of each of the unclean. But in Genesis, if you turn over there to Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7, it says, she's going to show you there. It says, Yahweh said to Noah, come you and all your house into the ark, for you I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast you shall take to you seven and seven, but of the male and its female, and of the beasts that are not clean, two, male and female. So, you know, this two, of course, has been taught, and most people know that. But the scriptures show you he took seven and seven, of the clean animal. Now, why would he take seven? Yeah, they had to eat. They ate the clean animals. They didn't eat the unclean. See? It's important. He separates the holy from the common, the clean from the unclean. And the servants of Yahweh need to know these things. We need to understand what Yahweh is doing in our lives and the purpose that he has for each one of us. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We'll start in verse 12. Romans 6, 12. This is the baptism chapter, which hopefully a lot of you will be hearing at the Feast of Tabernacles that are planning on getting baptized. Do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust of it. Neither present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to Yahweh. Now, what do you think you would do if you knew Yahweh was in the room, you had to come before him? How would you react? How would you present yourself to him? I want you to just keep that thought in mind. See? We're talking about the holy and righteous Elohim. As alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Yahweh, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And I have under law there penalty. You're not under the penalty of the law if you're keeping the commandment. You're only under the penalty if you violate it. You understand? Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as servants to obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? So you either are following the sin of law and death or righteousness. Now, righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. Now, people say, which? What did Yahshua tell a rich young ruler? You keep them all. He told him which commandments to keep. Now, the young man says, I've kept all of them. Then Yahshua says, go, sell what you have, give to the poor, then come follow me. And he realized he couldn't do that because he was very wealthy. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of property. And see, it controlled him. It wasn't that he controlled the money. There's nothing wrong with being rich. You can be very rich and very righteous. Joseph of Arimathea was that type of individual who was very rich, but who was very righteous. So, again, we present ourselves as members, as instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. And that's what we do. Now, verse 17, but thanks be to Elohim that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. For when you were servants of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit you have at the time and the things of which you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. And I'm going to tell you, if you are attached to the world, you will die. Now, you have an opportunity to have eternal life. You have to choose which you want. You understand? You only have two choices. So we want to make the right choice. And the kingdom of Yahweh and eternal life is the right choice for me. I can't say what it is for you. That's something you have to choose. I've witnessed the people in the past, and they said, hey, I'm not interested. I don't, you know, they're comparing the kingdom with this world, and you can't do that. But this is all they know. Now, how do you learn something new? You're taught, right? Yahweh is teaching us from his word. They obviously got it from someone that they couldn't relate to, didn't understand, didn't want any part of. And I know a lot of people like that because they've had bad experiences with religion. But Yahweh is truly love. And once you get to that point where you realize and understand what love truly is, you don't have a problem. You're going to choose life. You'll choose life over death every day. But some people, they don't want to choose life because they've had a bad run of it. And they don't care. This is why people commit suicide. Depression is real. I'm telling you, it's real. And when people are depressed, they do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. And you would be surprised at some of the people you would think, why are they depressed? They have all that money. Why are they depressed? They have such a great life. That's your opinion of their life. You're looking at it from the outside. You're not walking in their shoes. And until you walk in somebody else's shoes, can you experience what they feel? Can you experience their life? You understand? Each one of us can't judge anybody else. We have to judge ourselves. And that's what judging righteous judgment's about. I'm not pointing a finger at you or you or you and say, hey, you're, you know, really the worst of the worst. No. My job as a watchman is to tell you your choices. You know, and hopefully do it in a way that you want and desire the kingdom of Yahweh. I want you to desire the kingdom of Yahweh. I want you to desire being in his presence. And I'm going to tell you, it's nothing like it. Now, verse 21, it says, what fruit you have at that time in the things of which you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and having become Obadiah's servants of Yahweh, you have your fruits to sanctification and the end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. Joel chapter 2. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass that afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon and the blood, before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those that escape, as Yahweh has said, and among the remnant of those whom he does call. The call is out. It's gone out into the world. Yahweh is looking for those that have the heart of Obadiah. He's looking for those who are willing to do his will in these last days. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, verse 1. It says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, and whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentile. Yahweh's servant, his Obadiah, we're speaking of here is Yahshua the Messiah. He's the true Obadiah, the true servant of Yahweh. Verse 2, he will not cry nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has set justice in the earth. The isles shall wait for his law. In this manner, says El Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them forth, he that spreads abroad the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath to the people upon it and a spirit to them that walk in it, I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and will give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes. And this is what the word of Yahweh does in the hand of the right people. It opens the blind eyes, and this is what Yahshua did. And this is what we're doing today. We're bringing people to Yahweh to bring the prisoners from the dungeon, which he did with Jeremiah, and then to sit in darkness out of the prison house, which he did with Joseph in Egypt. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to carved images. Yahweh wants his praise, brother. And we owe it to him. And this is why, as servants, we need to give it to him. Verse 9, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And they're springing forth, and they're coming to fruition. Now, verse 10, sing to Yahweh a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea and all that is in it, the isles and the inhabitants of it, let the wilderness and the cities of it lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar does inhabit, let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to Yahweh and declare his praise in the islands. Yahweh will go forth as a mighty man. He will stir up his zeal like a man of war. He will cry, yes, he will shout aloud. He will do mightily against his enemy. And the enemies of Yahweh are rising up in these last days. But Almighty Yahweh has sent his son. Isaiah chapter 61. Another passage about the Savior. The Spirit of the Sovereign Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may be glorified. And they shall build the old waste They shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolation of many generations. We're trying to restore the worship of Yahweh to this world, brethren. Verse 5, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priest of Yahweh. Another servant of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim, the servants of Yahweh. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be to them, for I, Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity, and I will give them their recompense in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they, that they are the seed which Yahweh has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the sovereign Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations, all the nations. Do we trust Yahweh? I hope the answer is yes, because Almighty Yahweh is looking for a people that trust him and looking for a people who are willing to do his will as servants in these last days. Jeremiah chapter 30. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, in this manner speaks Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, write for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you in a book. For lo, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will turn again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says Yahweh. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Verse 4. And these are the words that Yahweh spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. But thus says Yahweh, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man does travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, and a woman as a woman in travail, and all the faces are turned into paleness? If you can think of a man being pregnant, going through that pain, this is what this is talking about. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. So Yahweh's people are going to be saved out of this tribulation that's coming upon this earth. And it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck and will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no more make him their bondman, but they shall serve Yahweh the Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up to them. And that David is the servant of Yahweh. That's Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, says Yahweh. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be quiet and at ease, and no one shall make him afraid. See, Yahweh has that power. He can protect anyone. And if we're faithful like Ebed-Melech, who trusted in Yahweh, who saved Jeremiah from the dungeon, he was a servant of Yahweh. He was a servant of the king. But as a servant of Yahweh, we're going to be protected. We're going to have the right one on our side. Verse 11, "For I am with you, says Yahweh, to save you. For I will make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you, but I will not make a full end of you. But I will correct you in measure and will in no wise leave you unpunished." Keep your finger in Jeremiah 30 and turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Verse 1. "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed?" It's been revealed to those that have the heart of Obadiah. Verse 2. "For he grew up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." See, the movies make him look like he was a rock star and a movie star. But a lot of, you know, commentators in the scriptures talk about he was not a very handsome man. He was beautiful because of what he did. And inside, where we have to be beautiful. You know, we live in a society where everybody, you know, has got to be to the nines. They have to dress well. They have to look good. Because people will reject you if you don't. You understand? But it's the word of Yahweh that has to be accepted. Doesn't matter what the individual looks like. It talks about their heart. What comes out of their heart, how they relate the word of Yahweh to you. And this is what Yahshua did. It says, "There is no beauty that we should desire him." He wasn't a movie star. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, struck of Elohim and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. It was our sins that caused him to die. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Brethren, he was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. He didn't point fingers to anyone else. He didn't throw anybody under the bus. He took it himself. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? See, the Jewish people missed this. They missed this. Yes, a lot of them have suffered greatly, but they did not do it for the world. They did not die for our sins. Yahshua did. Verse 9, "And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence. neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge of himself. Shall my righteous servant, my Obadiah, justify many, and he shall bear their iniquity. Truly Yahweh has allowed Yahshua to do that for us. He bore our sin in his body upon the tree. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And truly, Yahshua has fulfilled this passage, not the Jewish people, as the rabbis continually try to say. Let's finish up in of Jeremiah 30, verse 12. But thus says Yahweh, your hurt is incurable and your wound grievous. There is no one to plead your cause, that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicine. All your lovers have forgotten you. They seek you not. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the greatness of your iniquity, because your sins were increased. Why do you cry for your hurt? Your pain is incurable for the greatness of your iniquity, because your sins were increased. I have done these things to you. Therefore, all they that devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that plunder you shall be a plunder, and all that preys upon you will I give for a prey. For I will restore health to you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says Yahweh, because they have called you an outcast, saying, it is Zion whom no man seeks after. In this manner, says Yahweh, behold, I will turn again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have compassion upon his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon its own hill. And the palace shall be inhabited after its own manner. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before time, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppresses them, and their prince shall be of themselves, their own people. And their ruler shall proceed from the middle of them, and I will cause them to draw near, and he shall approach to me. For who is he that has boldness to approach to me? Can we approach Yahweh with the boldness that Yahshua can? Yahshua opened the door for us to do so. He did. He died for our sins, brethren. And you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Behold, the tempest of Yahweh, even his wrath, has gone forth, a sweeping tempest. It shall burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the intent of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it. We're in the latter days, brethren. It's telling us here in the word that we should understand, we should know what Yahweh is trying to show us. Now, each one of us should have the heart of Obadiah. We should be willing servants of Yahweh, willing to do his will. willing to keep his commandments and willing to overcome this world and Satan the devil. Yahshua overcame Satan and his challenge. He overcame death by being resurrected. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He's the first of the first fruits. And if we're going to be part of the 144,000, the first fruits, we have to walk like Yahshua walked. We have to talk like Yahshua talked. And we have to love like Yahshua loved. Yahshua didn't hate anybody. Yet, people will have a problem with their brother or their sister, or I can't talk to them. And these are people. These are, you know, flesh and blood. What did Yahshua say? If you can't show love for your brother, and we're talking about whoever, even your enemy, you don't know Yahweh. Yahweh is love, brother. And each one of us has to have that same love within us in the heart of Obadiah. Would you all please rise at this time for a prayer? Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we again humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this your holy Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for the love that you manifested toward us and allowing us to be here today to hear your word. And we ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us and be a blessing to us. Help each one of us to do your will in these last days, that we might fulfill the great commission, doing the work that Yahshua has given us to do, showing love one to another. Help us, Father, to be a blessing to each one, to touch lives that you sent our way. Help us, Father, to be faithful. We love you and thank you for every blessing. And it's in Yahshua's name we come before you asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.